Appreciate everybody being out here tonight. I know we got some visitors, and that's always exciting. It's an exciting time to have a gospel meeting. It's always exciting to proclaim God's Word. I'd encourage you to be back. We're going to have several other interesting lessons this week. Tomorrow you get to hear what I have to say about Max. It'll be at the end of the lesson. And that's a lot. In fact, I was working on it today, and it takes up 4 slides. So, be back tomorrow. More to be continued, as they say. Wednesday, we're going to talk about, can the put away? It's really going to be a lesson on marriage and divorce with just a focus on some false doctrine that's in the church, specifically some aspects of marriage and divorce that's being taught in the church, some different ideas. Here's what I want you to do about that night. I want you to leave all your opinions at home, all your emotions at home. I want you to bring your Bibles. It's an emotional topic, and we're going to look at what God has to say about that. Sometimes when emotions get in the way, Scripture gets fuzzy. I've seen a lot of people who used to stand firm, all of a sudden, their emotions get involved, and now they don't stand firm no more. So we're going to talk about that on Wednesday. Thursday night, we're going to do a physical checkup. Actually, we're going to do a spiritual checkup. Look at our spiritual bodies. And then Friday, we're going to talk about fighting. And that's how we're going to close out the week. So, appreciate you being here tonight. Hope you can come back. Bring somebody. It's not too late to invite folks. It's not too late to get people involved in the meeting. But tonight, I want to ask you a question. Can you be trusted? I'm asking this to myself as well. Can you be trusted with God alone? That might seem to be an odd question, doesn't it? Can I be trusted with God alone? See, there's a lot of things that we won't do in front of people. Maybe because they're embarrassing, or we just can't bear to allow other people to see us. Most of us don't go to the bathroom in groups. Women do for some odd reason. I don't think they actually go to the bathroom in groups. They just attend the room, whatever. Most of us don't dress in groups. My brother and I are always discussing our military training. He went to basic and one of those old World War II barracks that didn't have partitions in between the commodes. And you kind of converse with the guy next to you while you were doing your morning constitution. I don't know how he got through basic training. We had stalls. You had privacy. I guess you get used to it. I couldn't have did it. So he thinks he had a more difficult basic training because of that. Most of us would be horrified about that. I would have. But there's a lot of things that we just don't want to do in front of people. You know, sin is a lot like that. There are things that we will, sinful things, awful things, that we will do in front of God that we would never do in front of another living soul. We would never even fathom of doing in front of another human being, and yet we will do them in front of God. That's the subject tonight. I love that song. I didn't even know that song existed. Thank you, Brother Caldwell. That was a perfect song for this lesson. Just think about that for a minute. Let that settle in. There are sinful things that we as human beings would never want anybody else to know about, and yet we will do them in front of Yahweh. In plain sight of Him, with no shame. Shameful. Secret sins are shameful. The Bible is very clear about that. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, we read, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of those things which are done by them in secret." There are things that Christians do and non-Christians do in the sight of God alone that are so shameful that they shouldn't even be mentioned. And maybe there's some folks in this audience that do them. And if people knew about them, you would be horrified. And yet you will do them in front of God. God says that's perverse. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 32, it says, "For the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret counsel is with the upright." God wants to spend some private time with us, but God doesn't want to spend time with a pervert. God says it's perverse to do things in private that are an abomination. Raise your hand if you want to spend some private time with a pervert. You know, we think of a pervert as some middle-aged man with a trench coat standing in front of a schoolhouse somewhere. God says any sin that's committed in private is perverse. And I don't want to hang out with them people. God wants secret counsel, but He wants to spend time with righteous people. He wants private time with us in righteous settings. Secret sins are shameful. And we're never alone. Jesus says, "I'm always with you." Remember that promise He makes before He goes back? Yeah, this was to His disciples. He says, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of age." There's a lot more promises made by God. He says, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your countenance." You know why most crimes are committed at dark, at night? Because people think they're hiding. God says our secret sins are just like they're committing. You're doing them in broad daylight. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you pray, when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." What I want you to get out of this point is the fact that when you think you're alone, you're not alone. When you're on that computer at night and all them pop-ups all of a sudden come up, it's always funny those pop-ups come up at night when nobody else is awake. They don't come up in the middle of the day. Those websites don't appear when the family's around. That fear that to get cracked open when the preacher's visiting. That cigarette doesn't get smoked. I forget, I gotta stay close to the mic. I like to walk. That cigarette doesn't get smoked when the elders are coming over for dinner. But I'll smoke a cigarette in front of God. Hey, Lord, I smoked a cigarette. You can watch, but I don't want the elders to see. I don't want the brethren to see me drink this beer or watch this movie or surf this web. But you can watch, God. Isn't that perverse? I don't want my parents to see. But God, you can watch me do this. You can watch me talk this way, act this way. God, who is in the secret place, the place you think you've hidden from everybody else, God's there, watching you over your shoulder. I guarantee you, if your wife was there looking over your shoulder, your husband there looking over your shoulder, your parents there looking over your shoulder, you wouldn't do it. The preacher was looking over your shoulder. Jesus was there in person. He is. It's because he's not physically there. We're never alone. Can't hide from God. Remember Jonah? He had to spend 3 nights in the belly of a fish to figure that out. You got to stink like fish guts before you figure it out, before I figure it out. Can I hide myself? Can anyone hide himself in the secret places so I cannot see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill the heaven and the earth, says the Lord? Is not God omnipresent? Is that not one of the character traits of God? Is that he's omnipresent? That's what makes him God. Psalms 139, verse 7, beginning. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, are you not there? If I make myself my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take my wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even you are there. Your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall upon me, even the night shall be light unto me about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness is light, and the light are both alike to you. You can hide from people. You can't hide from God. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to hide? And yet, we continue to sin in the presence of God. Got everybody fooled. Everybody thinks I'm a good person. Everybody thinks I'm doing okay. I ain't hurting nobody but myself. That's the problem. You're hurting yourself. Say that again. Sin hurts somebody. Us. You and me. You cannot sin without hurting someone. Every sin is brought and will be brought into light, whether in this life or in the next. People think they're going to skate into heaven. Boy, I got everybody fooled. Mark 4 and verse 22, there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Get through this life. One day, everybody sitting in this room, to include this person, is going to stand before the great King Jesus, on his throne. And we're going to give an account for everything done in this body, whether it be good or bad. All the things you think you got done away, you got away with, going to come back to haunt you and me. And that's why you got to get it straight now. Not tomorrow. Not the next day. Now. Parallel passages in Luke 8 says almost the exact same thing. It's going to be exposed. You may not get exposed in this life, but Jesus knows. It's written down. If you don't get it fixed by repenting of it and getting it cleaned up, you're going to get shocked. It's just a cigarette. That's what cracks me up. People smoke. Bible don't say anything about smoking. Can't find a passage. Any sin. I've never met a smoker that wants their kids to smoke. Something's either good or bad. Right? If it's good, how come we don't want our kids to smoke? Because it's bad. It will kill you. That's why there's a warning on the package. If it's good, then we need to get that little baby right there a pack of cigarettes so that she can get a whole lifetime of benefit out of it. Well, that's ridiculous. Exactly. That's my point. Well, nobody knows. That's the point of the lesson. God knows. I'll smoke in front of God. But everybody else knows too. I could spray Axe. Perfume. Smokers are so dumb. Because the only person you're fooling is you. Non-smokers smell smoker. When you hug them, they come to you. We got a lady that thinks she's been trying to quit. I'm like, you still smoking, sister? Oh no, I quit. I'm like, you don't mind God. You're not lying to me. I smell you. Unless you ain't washed your clothes in 6 months. I can smell smoke. I don't smoke. Only people that can't smell smoke are smokers. That's like drinkers. I only have one beer. The Bible says you can't get drunk. It doesn't say you can't drink. My question is this. I think California's .08 will send you to jail, right? Is that right? I don't know. That's a Missouri law. .08 will send you to jail. My question is, what percent will send you to hell? Five beers make you drunk. You drink one beer, you're 20% drunk. Talked about some math last night. Let's talk about math. What percent drunk are you going to bet your soul on? Is it 0.01, 0.11, 0.0001? Drunkenness is a sin. And the fact that you hide it makes it a sin. Whatever's not done in faith is a sin. How come you don't offer Jerry a beer when he comes over? Or Max a beer? Max, you ever been offered a beer when you went over to somebody's house for dinner? Probably not. That tells you it's wrong. A bunch of hogwash. People make justifications for their secret sins. Yeah. Doesn't say you can't get. It doesn't say you get. Sell that story to somebody else. Inquirer might buy it, but I'm not. You wouldn't drink in front of God if He was sitting on your couch, but He is in your house. If you claim to be a Christian, I actually had a knothead tell me one time that if Jesus knocked on his door, he'd offer him a beer. I said, "You're a liar." you'd pass out faint dead away. That's the truth of it. God's going to bring our secret sins into judgment, folks. See, I'm not talking out of both sides of my mouth. I used to be in the world. I told you guys Sunday, I fell away. There ain't nothing that I haven't done. There's two things I haven't done in my life. When I fell away from God, I never was a homosexual, and I never stuck a needle in my arm. But other than that, I did it. I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of those days. But don't impress me with all your little secret sins, because they're horrible and I've done them. And they make me sick. And I knew every night that I was away from God, if I died, I'd burn in hell forever. And I knew that God was going to bring everything into judgment, including every secret thing. And I'd talk like got any ex-Navy guys here? Okay, I always use like a drunken sailor, but my son-in-law is an ex-sailor, so I can't use it there in St. Robert. I talked filthy when I was around my worldly friends, but if I bumped into a member of the church in town, I wouldn't talk around them like that. Why? Because I was fake. Because I knew that they didn't want to hear that nonsense. Because I knew that they were professing godliness. And they were living the way I should have been living. But here's what we need to know, folks. It don't matter what you've done, what you're doing, or how you're living. Sin and secret sins can be removed. Let's read this passage here. In Psalms 19, in verse 12 beginning, here's somebody who knows about secret sins. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. You know who wrote this? A man who knew about secret sin. King David. He knew about secret sin, didn't he? He was out walking one night on his porch. And it came eventide. He passed. David was a rose. He couldn't sleep. He's out walking on his roof. See, over there, Middle East, they got flat roofs. People sleep up there in the summertime because it's hot. We used to do that when I was a kid. We sleep out on the porch because we didn't have air conditioners. Over there, he was walking on his roof. And from his roof, he saw a woman bathing. That wasn't a sin. It's a sin, somebody bathing. That's not a sin. How do we know David sinned? That latter part. He saw a woman bathing. You see that semicolon? I don't know much about English language. I know that's a semicolon. See, before the semicolon, he's not sinning. After that semicolon is where the sin comes in. Before the semicolon, he's not sinning. He saw somebody bathing. Now what should his reaction be? Every single black person here has walked in on somebody, probably in the bathroom, somebody forgets to lock the door. You walk in the bathroom, oh, you're like, oh, excuse me. You turn around and you leave. He didn't leave. That's where we get past that semicolon. And the woman was very beautiful to look on. You got to take a gander to ascertain whether or not she's beautiful or not, don't you? He don't know whether she's skinny, she's fat, she's ugly, she's pretty, she's got a beard, a mustache, a mohawk, she's got red hair, yellow hair, green hair, no hair. He looked. That's where the sin came in. If he had stopped at the semicolon, he is good to go. But that's where the secret sin kicks in. He gawked. Now, well, we're not there yet. So, now he's got a choice to make. Sin of lust. What do I do? 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 This is what he should have did. God, forgive me. I shouldn't have looked at that woman. I need to go back into my house, go to bed. Forgive me. New. I'm the king. Ain't nobody around. He goes and brings her up there. He has relationships with her. Sends her on back home. Got away with it. Secret sin. Lo and behold, scot-free, right? Got away with it. How many times we got away with it? Nope. A few months down the road, she says, wait a minute. I'm going to have a baby. Uh-oh. Okay, I can fix this. What do we need to do? We need to own up, fess up, and take control and take responsibility, right? No! We can fix this. I'll call her husband back off the battle line. Good old Uriah the Hittite. I'll send him home. He'll have relations with her. He'll think this baby's his. Cover it up. One secret sin leads to another secret sin, to another secret sin, to another secret sin. Just like one line leads to another line, leads to another line, to another line. Sends Uriah, go down there. See now, Uriah, the problem with Uriah is this man's got integrity. Any of you been in the military? When your soldiers are, leader never eats before his men, leader doesn't go on R&R before his men. David says, hey, you good soldier, good report, go home. No, it's not fair for me to go home and be with my family when I got soldiers up on the front. He sleeps at the gate. Okay. That ain't going to work. So, we got to get rid of Uriah. Got too much integrity. So now, the sin of adultery turns into the sin of murder. He writes out his murder letter, his execution letter, and puts it in his own hands and sends it back up. Tells Joab, kill him. Put him at the forefront of the battle. When it gets hot, pull the troops back, leave him up there, let him die. Joab does it. Uriah's gone. He takes Bathsheba to his wife. Secret sins covered up. Uriah's dead. Whew, got away with it. The only problem is, David wasn't alone on that roof, was he? Who was with him? The same person that's with us when we commit secret sin. The Almighty God. God was out there watching David when David was watching Bathsheba. God was out there watching David when David was conspiring against Uriah. And God watched Uriah get murdered. And God sent Nathan to tell David a story. And Nathan says, you know, there was this man. He had this little lamb. You can read the story. He treated it like one of his kids. It played with his kids, slept in his bed. There was this rich man over here. He had a big old flock of sheep.
That rich man, he had some visitors come, and he went over and he took this man's one little lamb and butchered it to feed these visitors. David was infuriated. He said, that man ought to die.
Nathan said, you're the man. Now he's caught. What to do? What to do? We're caught tonight, folks. What to do? What to do? What do we do? Our secret sins are exposed tonight. Here's what David did. David said to Nathan, I've sinned against Yahweh. And Nathan said unto David, Yahweh has also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. You know what God says to us? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've got secret sins tonight, they're exposed. Just like David's sin was. God knows. And you know. Will you confess them? Will you own them tonight? Will you ask God to forgive you? Like David did. Will you have the heart of David? Or will you continue to resist? You can keep them. You can hide them. You can confess them tonight. Or you can confess them to the great King on Judgment Day. But you will confess them. But on Judgment Day it'll be too late. Tonight God will forgive them. On Judgment Day, He will cast you in a pit to burn for eternity. The choice is yours. But secret sins will be exposed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there was a lot of bad people there. Ex-bad people. Paul tells the Corinthians, and such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Folks, you can be washed tonight. You can be sanctified. You can be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You can go to heaven. You can have your secret sins cleansed tonight. I don't say that. The God of heaven says that. What is your choice? What is your privilege? Keep them or get rid of them. It's up to you. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, then you have all your sins, secret and unsecret, on you. God has them all. He sees them all. He knows them all. But you can get rid of every one of them now, tonight. You can walk out of this building as pure as the day you were born, by hearing God's word, believing that Jesus Christ is who He says He was, the Son of the living God, repenting. Repenting like David, who said, I have sinned against God. Saying, I don't want to live in this filthy world anymore. You know, the prodigal son got tired of eating pods with the pigs. Aren't you tired of being dirty? Aren't you tired of just being filthy? Wouldn't it be nice to be clean? Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Be clean tonight by confessing His name and being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. And you can be a Christian tonight. Why wait? Why wait one more day? What is this world that you would sacrifice your soul
one more day. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? Maybe you're here and you are a Christian. And maybe you've got those secrets. If they're secret, they're between you and God. Get rid of them right now. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to remove them. Ask God to erase them. And maybe it's something that you need extra prayers for. You can ask for those. That's what we're here for. Ask for those prayers. Either way, if you want to get rid of the sins, if you want to be a Christian, or if you just need extra strength, make your way to the front as we stand and sing.